Hi, I'm Chris Green, the History Chap, telling stories that bring British history to life. The Bantam Battalions of the British and Canadian Army during the First World War were made up of men below the normal height requirement of 5'3". Over 30,000 such men volunteered to join these battalions fighting on the Western Front. They made up in courage and aggression what they lacked in height, each one described in a poem as a pocket Hercules. This story is a result of so many of you requesting it after my recent episode about William Coltman VC. Lots of you asked what the Bantam Battalions were and why they were actually formed. And when I say lots of you, I really do mean hundreds of you. So thanks for taking the time to comment. And this is especially for you. It started just 2 months into the war when a miner who failed to reach the standard height requirement offered to take on all comers to prove he could fight. And it took 6 larger soldiers to remove him from the recruiting office. His plucky, aggressive behaviour encouraged a Member of Parliament, Alfred Bigland, to form his own battalion of men under 5'3". Men like that miner, whose lack of height was more than made up for in courage and aggression. Rather like the small but aggressive Bantam Chickens. And so, the Bantam Battalions were formed. Over 30,000 pint-sized warriors volunteered, including a corporal who was just 4'9", and I'll share his story later in this episode. I'll also tell you about a Bantam war poet and another Bantam who would make a huge impact on Britain after the war. Any ideas who that might be? From all over Britain they volunteered. Yorkshire, Durham, Lancashire, Scotland, the west of England, Nottingham, East Anglia and London, and also from Canada. Those little Hercules who lived out the maxim that it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. And just like those birds, those Bantams were up for the fight. Indeed, so renowned were the little men from the 18th Battalion, the Highland Light Infantry, for taking on all comers in pub brawls in Glasgow, they were nicknamed the Devil Dwarves. This is the story of the Bantam Battalions in World War I. When the First World War began in August 1914, young men across Europe flocked to join up in their respective armies. The United Kingdom was no exception. For his many faults, the new Secretary of State for War, Field Marshal Lord Herbert Kitchener, recognised that this would be an industrial war that would last way beyond Christmas and need to be sustained by huge reserves of manpower. On the 3rd of September, just a month since the outbreak of hostilities, 33,000 men signed up in Britain's recruiting offices in just one day. That was more than the army had recruited in the whole of the previous year. Despite Kitchener's call for recruits, the administration was creaking at the seams. In an effort to put the brakes on the process, just a week later, the height requirement was raised from 5'3" to 5'6". It had the effect, but then by late October, the stream of recruits was actually drying up and the height requirement was eased to 5'4". And then by the 5th of November, back to 5'3", which was all well and good, except any man under that height of 5'3" was turned away. Thousands of able-bodied men, keen to fight for their country, were being turned away simply because they didn't hit an arbitrary height requirement. Alfred Bigland, the Member of Parliament for Birkenhead, heard of a miner from Durham who travelled to Birkenhead. He and a small group of fellow short miners had made their way from County Durham across the country to Merseyside, trying to sign on at recruiting offices as they passed. Each time, they were turned away. Eventually, in October 1914, the miner had arrived in Bigland's constituency of Birkenhead. Once more, his application was turned down due to his height. Exasperated, the miner challenged anyone in the recruiting office to a fight to prove he was as good a fighter as anyone. It took 6 men to remove him from that office. Alfred Bigland, an industrialist, had been the Conservative MP for Birkenhead since 1910. Upon hearing the story of the feisty miner taking on all comers, he thought it was ridiculous that spirited, strong, obviously aggressive men like our man from County Durham were being turned away purely because of their height. Not only had the men under 5'3" fallen foul of the attempts of the War Office to regulate the recruitment drive by moving the height restriction up and down, but they were also up against the prevailing view that shorter men were physically weak. Representing a constituency that had shipbuilding and docking at its heart, Bigland recognised that there were plenty of shorter men in those professions who were as strong as an ox. Bigland lobbied the War Office to change the rules, but his request was politely declined. so he then petitioned to form and pay for his own unit of undersized men. This time his appeal was granted, and on the 18th of November 1914, an article was published in the Birkenhead News requesting men between the heights of 4 foot 10 and 5 foot 3 and with a chest size of 34 inches to join his Bantam Battalion. He then circulated that notice to recruiting officers throughout the country. Within 2 weeks, Bigland had received 3,000 applications, enough to form not one, but two battalions, the 1st and 2nd Birkenhead Battalions of the Cheshire Regiment. The Birkenhead News gave them enamel lapel badges emblazoned BBB, Bigland's Birkenhead Bantams. And whilst the 1st and 2nd Birkenhead Battalions would soon be renamed the 15th and 16th Service Battalions of the Cheshires, the nickname of Bantams stuck. But where did that nickname come from? What on earth were Bantams? The word first came into the English language from Indonesia, where sailors purchased small local fowl, chickens, which they named after the port of Bantam in Western Java. Despite being smaller than many chickens, they do at the same time have an aggressive tendency. In other words, they punch above their weight. And speaking of punching, since the 1880s, the term Bantam had been a category in boxing for lighter boxers, small men who could nevertheless pack a punch. Rather like Birmingham's own Henry Thomas, the King's Norton boxer had won the bantamweight boxing gold at the 1908 Olympics in London. So, whether it was the bird or the boxers that were the inspiration for Bigland's Bantams, we'll never 100% know. But seeing as the 35th Division, which was entirely comprised of Bantam battalions, adopted a Bantam chicken as its logo, I guess we can go with the former. Certainly the men who joined those two battalions in Birkenhead were not the weak physical specimens that the War Office had feared. The vast majority were miners, shipyard workers, dockers, lead industry and bakery workers, hard men who lifted significant weights as part of their day job. Bigland's recruitment was so successful that a further battalion was also eventually created in August 1915, the 17th Reserve Battalion, Cheshire Regiment. Whilst Alfred Bigland is commonly credited with the creation of the Bantam Battalions, and eventually there would be 29 such battalions in the British and Canadian armies, others had also been lobbying the War Office to change their stance too. Over in Manchester, the Lord Mayor and the City of Manchester had already raised 5 city battalions of POWs in those opening months of the war. In November 1914, at exactly the same time that Bigland was taking on the War Office, D.E. Anderson, the chairman of the Northwest branch of the National Service League, was also complaining to the same War Office that strong recruits were being turned away in Manchester simply because they were under 5'3". The National Service League had been established in 1902 and advocated a system of conscription in Britain to bolster the country's defences for a war with Germany that they felt was inevitable. The president of the League was Field Marshal Lord Roberts of Kandahar. Bobs, as he was affectionately known, was famous for achieving huge military success whilst only 2 inches above that minimum height requirement. Other notable supporters of the National Service League included Field Marshal Lord Wolseley and author and poet Rudyard Kipling. Just days after the War Office had finally relented to Bigland, the Lord Mayor of Manchester also received a telegram from London authorising him to raise a Bantam battalion. The National Service League already had the names of over 1,000 interested men, which they passed to the Lord Mayor, and the first men were recruited the next day. Anderson suggested calling these volunteers Bob's Own, after Lord Roberts, who died earlier that month, but instead they were designated the 23rd Service Battalion of the Manchester Regiment. Due to the lack of facilities in Manchester, mainly thanks to all those PALS battalions going through their training, the 23rd were initially sent to Morecambe on the coast in Lancashire, before joining the rest of the 35th Division in Yorkshire. Whilst in those early days at Morecambe, they were brought back to Manchester to be inspected by the Secretary of State for War, Lord Kitchener. Although such was the hurried nature of the recruitment and shortage of supplies that many paraded not in khaki, but in blue uniforms provided by the Co-op, and many did not at this stage possess rifles. The enthusiasm with which men under 5'3" had joined up in Birkenhead and Manchester inspired other regions to follow suit. A recruiting poster in Stroud, Gloucestershire proclaimed, "Little men have made history. Pluck can make up for inches. Remember Nelson and Roberts." Actually, Nelson was 5'4" and Roberts 5'5", so both would have passed the height requirement, but it got the message across. Little men could make a big impact. As Mark Twain famously wrote, It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. And that recruiting poster must have hit the mark, because enough men stepped forward for the Gloucestershire Regiment to form their own Bantam Battalion. The 14th Service Battalion, Gloucestershire Regiment, was raised in April 1915 and drew men from Bristol all the way up to the Birmingham area, including many miners from the Forest of Dean. When they finally went to the front line in March 1916, their first task was to raise the height of the firing step so they could see the enemy. Meanwhile, in the northeast of England, Durham miners, along with shipyard workers from Tyneside and Teesside, formed two Bantam battalions, the 19th and 23rd, within the Durham Light Infantry. Rather like the original PALS battalions, the Bantams were mainly recruited from the industrial heartlands of the Midlands and north of Britain. In December 1914, the Mayor and Corporation of Leeds formed their own Bantam battalion to represent their proud city, the 17th West Yorkshires. Over in Lancashire, Bantams formed the 11th Service Battalion of the King's Own Royal Regiment, and three battalions, the 17th, 18th and 20th, Lancashire Fusiliers. In the East Midlands of England, there were the 15th Sherwood Foresters, whilst four battalions were recruited in South Wales, the first of which, the 17th Service Battalion, Welsh Regiment, was raised in December 1914. It was followed by the 18th in the following January. The 12th Battalion, South Wales Borderers, was also raised that month at Newport, and shortly afterwards, the 19th Royal Welsh Fusiliers became the 4th Bantam Battalion from Wales. Up in Scotland, Edinburgh had already played a special role in the formation of the PALS battalions. When the 16th Battalion, Macrae's, of the Royal Scots, had been formed by professional footballers. Now the past president of the Rotary Club in Edinburgh became the driving force to establish a Bantam Battalion in the Scottish capital, the 17th Service Battalion of that regiment. It was also known as Rosebery's. Lord Rosebery, or to give him his full title, the 5th Earl of Rosebery, had succeeded William Gladstone as Prime Minister back in the 1890s, serving in that office for just over a year. He used his influence to help establish the 17th Bantam Battalion. Meanwhile, over in Glasgow, the local Rotary Club were also involved in raising another Bantam Battalion, persuading the Lord Provost to recruit men under 5'3" for the 18th Highland Light Infantry. The men in this battalion became notorious for taking on bigger opponents in pub brawls with such enthusiasm that they were nicknamed the Devil Dwarves. The enthusiasm for men below the standard height requirement to join up extended across the Atlantic to Canada. There, two Bantam battalions were recruited in the Canadian Expeditionary Force. The 143rd British Columbia Bantams were raised in 1916, but upon arrival in France in 1917, they were absorbed into other units. Likewise, the 216th Bantams, who were originally raised in Toronto, were also absorbed into other units when they arrived in France. And I have an interesting story to tell you about one of its members in a little while. Overall, 29 battalions of UK and Canadian Bantams were recruited during World War I. If you assume 1,000 men per battalion, that equates to about 30,000 men who were given the opportunity to volunteer to serve. The Bantam battalions were placed in the 35th and 40th Divisions. The 35th Division was made up entirely of Bantams, divided into three brigades. The 104th Brigade, consisting of all three battalions of the Lancashire Fusiliers, along with the 23rd Manchesters. The 105th Brigade brought together the two Cheshire battalions formed by Bigland, the 14th Gloucestershires and the 15th Sherwood Foresters. And finally, the 106th Brigade was formed from the 17th Royal Scots from Edinburgh, the 18th Highland Light Infantry, the Devil Dwarves, the 19th Durham Light Infantry, and the 17th West Yorkshires. The 35th Division was commanded by Major General Reginald Pinney. In his 50s, Pinney had served in the Boer War with the Royal Fusiliers. A committed teetotaler, he was renowned in the army for denying his men their usual ration of rum. He would lead the 35th throughout their early service on the Western Front. The Bantam battalions of the 35th were initially brought together for training at Massam in North Yorkshire before moving south to Salisbury. It was whilst at Salisbury that they received word that they were designated for the Egyptian campaign, fighting the Turks, and issued with tropical clothing. The image of a whole division of short soldiers in pith helmets makes me think of thousands of lofties from It Ain't Half Hot Mum. As it was, the order was rescinded, and instead they embarked for France at the end of January 1916. There, a young, standard height officer would be pulled in to become Brigade Major of the 104th, the one made up of the Lancashire Fusiliers and the 23rd Manchesters. His name? Captain Bernard Montgomery. And speaking of well-known characters, here are a few others associated with the Bantams. The war poet Isaac Rosenberg, famous for Poems from the Trenches, was a Bantam. Born in Bristol in 1890, the son of poor Jews who'd fled to Britain from Russia, he was already an established poet as well as an artist before the war. He'd emigrated to Cape Town a few years beforehand to alleviate his poor health. Upon the outbreak of the war, however, he returned to Britain and joined the 12th Bantam Battalion of the Suffolk Regiment in 1915. This battalion was part of the 40th Division, which I'll talk about in a moment. Posted to the Western Front, Rosenberg, who never rose above the rank of private, was killed in action in 1918, aged 27. And speaking of Cape Town, another Bantam hailed from that city at the southern tip of Africa. Billy Butlin, the founder of the Butlin's Holiday Camps, was born there in 1899. Upon the separation of his parents, he emigrated to Canada. It was here that he enlisted in 1915. Before deployment, he was posted to the 216th Bantam Battalion of the Canadian Expeditionary Force. Arriving in England in April 1917, the battalion was absorbed into the 3rd Reserve Battalion, which served on the Western Front, where Butlin was a stretcher-bearer. The other British Bantam battalions were part of the 40th Division. The 40th was initially envisaged to also be solely a Bantam division, but whilst they were training at Aldershot in 1915, concerns were raised about the fitness of some of the recruits. After several medical examinations, numbers were whittled down so much that 4 battalions of standard-sized troops had to be drafted in to augment the fighting capacity. By the time the 40th left for France in 1916, only half its composition was made up of Bantams. Thereafter, it was always a mixed division. Henry Thridgold was born at Mile End in the East End of London in 1880, but had emigrated to New York. When the war broke out, he rushed back to enlist. The problem for Henry was that he was below the magical 5'3" height requirement. And even when the Bantams were raised, he had a problem. If you remember, the War Office had instructed Alfred Bigland to raise a battalion of men from 4'10" to 5'3". Henry was just 4'9". I'm not quite sure exactly how he got in, maybe standing on tiptoes or a recruiting sergeant bending the rules, but he managed to enlist in the 21st Islington Battalion, Middlesex Regiment. The 21st, along with their sister 20th, were both Bantam battalions and part of the 40th Division on the Western Front. He was promoted to the rank of corporal and at 4'9" was the shortest corporal in the British Army. After the war, he returned to the US and lived out the rest of his life on Rhode Island. The arrival of the Bantam battalions on the Western Front caused amusement and also indignation. A private in the Guards, Alec Thomas, wrote, "After we finished telling the Bants that they had duck's disease, we had to take a lot of very funny insults in turn. Very sharp tongues they have, and we've taken to the little chaps right away." Meanwhile, in March 1916, when they reached the front line, they were jeered by the Germans with cock-a-doodle-doo calls. Others didn't find it so amusing. On relieving a Bantam battalion at the front, Captain Richard Pearson, an officer with the Northumberland Fusiliers, was approached by his agitated company sergeant major, who protested, "Sir, them bloody little dwarves have built up the fire steps so they can see over. Now when my lads stand up, half their bodies are above the parapet." Thereafter, the Bantams were issued with 2 sandbags each to raise the firing steps, which could then be taken away with them. In June 1916, the 14th Gloucestershires attacked a German machine gun post. The pocket-sized Hercules, as the Bantams were called in a poem at the time, captured the post, killing 30 Germans for the loss of 8 of their own. The Germans were probably not crowing now. The 35th Division, that all-Bantam division, were then moved into position for the Battle of the Somme. However, on the bloody opening day, they were held in reserve. In fact, they were not called upon until the 20th of July, nearly 3 weeks after the battle started, when W and X companies of the 23rd Manchesters went over the top to support a stalling attack by the Sherwood Foresters Bantams. Advancing in 8 waves, with another company arriving in support, they reached the German trenches, but with no cover, they started to sustain heavy casualties. By midday, just over half an hour after their attack had begun, the 23rd were ordered to withdraw. In that short period, they'd lost 9 officers and 192 other ranks. Included amongst the dead was the 23rd's commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Eustace Maxwell. He was the brother of VC recipient Francis Maxwell, who would also be killed in this war. The losses at the Battle of the Somme tore the heart out of the Bantam battalions in the 35th Division. By the end of 1916, the 23rd Manchesters had lost 7 officers killed, 19 wounded, plus a further 85 ordinary ranks killed, and 424 wounded, plus 25 missing, the highest rates in the 35th Division. The 17th Royal Scots lost 18 killed and 134 wounded before they were moved out of the sector in October. The 14th Gloucestershire Bantams suffered 107 casualties to artillery fire in just one day. The 14th Gloucestershires were also to earn a Victoria Cross. The action happened later in the war, on the 21st of August, 1917. That day, the Germans attacked a bombing post defended by the 14th. Second Lieutenant Hardy Falconer Parsons remained at his post, preventing the Germans entering the trenches. Parsons was a 20-year-old from Lancashire who'd been studying medicine at the University of Bristol. It must be remembered that whilst the ordinary ranks in the Bantam battalions were made up of men under 5'3", the officers were not. At 6'1", he must have towered over his men and been an obvious target for the Germans too. Despite being scorched and burnt by liquid fire, he held the Germans off with grenades until reinforcements drove the Germans back. Parsons was awarded a posthumous VC. Meanwhile, the 40th Division, whose numbers only contained 50% Bantams, including the 4 Welsh battalions, was to suffer a similar hemorrhage of its manpower. They went into action early in 1917, attacking the Hindenburg Line. In November 1917, they fought at the Battle of Cambrai, including a particularly bloody assault on the Bourlon Ridge on the 23rd. During the Battle of Cambrai, the 40th Division lost 4,000 men in 3 days, Bantams and regular-sized men. The losses within the 35th and 40th Divisions laid bare the weakness of the Bantam Battalion's experiment. Rather than simply absorbing shorter men into already established units, the Bantam Battalions were suffering a similar fate to the PALS Battalions. There were simply not enough men left back in Britain to fill the gaps of battalions, which effectively had a reverse height restriction. Even back in 1915, after that initial rush, the Bantams were struggling to get numbers. A planned Salford Bantam battalion could only recruit 300 men instead of the target 1,000. In an effort to find short men to fill the gaps, corners were cut and replacements were not of the physical calibre of the original intake. Many of these shorter soldiers came from desk jobs rather than the heavy industries of the original recruits. The lower height also enabled underage recruits to slip through the net. The divisional commanding officer of the 35th, General Pinney, wrote to his superiors in December 1916, expressing his dismay at the quality of replacements arriving at the front. He ordered a full medical inspection of his Bantam battalions, which rejected over 1,400 men. A further medical filtered out another 1,400. Another problem was that the Bantams were in demand elsewhere. Their physical size made them ideal to fit inside tanks, whilst their experience as miners, plus their size, meant their talents could be better used as tunnellers. The shortage in the Bantam battalions would have to be made up by men taller than 5'3", especially from the yeomanry cavalry units which were being dismounted. By February 1917, the 14th Battalion, Gloucestershire's War Diary, recorded 475 normal-sized men joining. Slowly, the Bantam battalions were diluted. The 19th Durham Light Infantry ceased to be designated a Bantam battalion in January 1917. The 35th Division itself was officially de-Bantamised in the same month. Whilst the 35th continued as a fighting unit, the Bantam cock insignia was replaced by a circle of 7 fives. Many Bantam battalions, with dwindling numbers of shorter men due to casualties and transfers, were disbanded, such as the 11th King's Own Royals and the 16th Cheshire's, one of Bigland's original Bantam battalions, in February 1918. Even those Bantam battalions which did see out the war, such as the other of Bigland's Birkenhead Bantams, the 15th Cheshire's, and also the 23rd Manchester's, did so with their Bantam content ending up in the minority. Considering that according to the National Army Museum in London, 4 million men served in the British Army during the First World War, the Bantam Battalions were a small, no pun intended, contingent of men. They were a great idea in theory, but rather like the PALS battalions, their flaw was that having used up their initial intake, there were few men to take their place. Maybe it would have been simply easier for the War Office to have let them join other battalions from the word go. Yet their story shouldn't be forgotten. Over 30,000 men who were under the normal height requirement volunteered, I repeat, volunteered, to serve their country. They could so easily have said, I would have gone, but I'm too small. From that feisty miner being dragged out of the Birkenhead recruitment office by 6 men, to the devil dwarves in Glasgow, to 4'9" Corporal Thridgord, to all the men fighting at the Somme and Cambrai, these men proved they were every bit as patriotic and up for the fight as their taller comrades. As an anonymous poem at the time described them, each one a pocket Hercules, 5 feet and a bit, a kind of Bovril essence of 6 foot British grit. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope you enjoyed that story from British history. What would you love to hear about in the future? Please do get in touch via my website, thehistorychap.com. And if you're enjoying my work, then do join my supporters club by clicking the button below. I'm Chris Green, The History Chap. Thanks for your support. Keep well, and I'll speak to you again very soon.